He could probably do that to the San Francisco 49ers. Like, I think that's totally doable. The only thing is when you're rolling out Palmer, like, you're holding your breath until that game is over. And then you'll be dead.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized, hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I am your host tonight. My name is Nick Walsh, and I am here with my good friend Vinny Gonzalez. Vinny, what's up, dude?
What's going on, Walsh? I'm still 0-3.
Yeah, that's true. You are definitely 0-3 in our league, and I'm 2-1. So you know what? I'm doing significantly better than you, and you can suck it. How about that?
Yes, sir.
All right. So now that we've got Vinny's input on things, we're going to give a quick shout out to Bench Boss. You may know them as ViewPick, but they are now Bench Boss. They are still, however, the revolutionary app that allows you to play fantasy football live while watching the game on TV. You can predict the plays, the result of the play, and literally play fantasy football. You can sign up now for the beta by going to letstalkfantasyfootball.com/benchboss. It took all of the willpower in me to not burp during that read.
It was noticeable.
I'm sure you could see. I mean, you can even see my face as I'm going through this, just contorting it and all weird stuff. But anyway, also, guys, make sure if you do listen to the podcast that you are subscribing on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Give us a review if you'd like to. And check out the apps. They're free. They're great. They're on iOS and Android. Vinny, we got some stuff to cover, man. We got the last 8 games that we did not cover in part one of the week 4 preview. So we're going to get through those in part 2. And we've also got some more reader questions. We'll get to those as well. Let's start, man, in your favorite division. We'll start in the AFC North. And we've got Pittsburgh at Baltimore. Pittsburgh is a 3-point favorite on the road. The over-under is 42.5, which, if you've been paying attention, low over-unders have kind of been a theme this week. So let's start on the Pittsburgh side of the ball. Ben on the road, are you about it at all?
No, I haven't been for a while, and I think we saw that last week. And he's not been great. So I think you can find better. Yeah, he's just been pretty much a bust so far, even at home. So I would be looking for other options like Trevor Siemian, straight up.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'd rather play Trevor Siemian. I'd rather play a couple different people, one of which we'll discuss in the next game. But I think on Pittsburgh there are still a couple of must plays. Obviously, you have Le'Veon Bell, you have Antonio Brown. So the other guy that we need to discuss, and maybe a couple other guys, but we'll start with Martavis Bryant. Bryant got 8 targets last week, which was actually a season high for him, but he only got 2 catches out of it. If you need to, are you willing to start Martavis Bryant?
This is one of those games where I'm just not going to touch him regardless. Like, it's a tough matchup.
Just because of this matchup?
Yeah, matchup on the road. Like, he's not going to get 8 targets this game. That is for sure. It's going to be really rough for them to get some space against the secondary for Baltimore. So I'm not liking Martavis at all.
Okay. What about Jesse James at tight end?
Love Jesse James. I think we alluded to this on the last podcast. Baltimore, they give up most of the points to most of their points to the tight end. So I like Jesse James as like a spot play. If you're one of the people that were dropping Ebron or something like that, definitely go out and get some Jesse James.
So what Vinny just said is he guarantees that Jesse James gets 3 touchdowns, just like Mercedes Lewis did against Baltimore last week. That's right, Vinny.
100%.
All right, good. Onto the Baltimore side of the ball. Joe Flacco fucking sucks ass. but the backfield has kind of had some production. So Buck Allen still getting the majority of the snaps. Alex Collins kind of doing the most with his work. And then Terrence West is still floating around. What do you think about these guys at home, but as underdogs? Do you like any of them?
I would still play Buck Allen. I would, just because I feel like you can get the production out of him guaranteed. Like, he'll get enough passing work. He'll get enough rushing attempts. It'll be okay. Terrence West, I'm worried about. His starting role is kind of like dwindling away. And then Alex Collins is doing the most with his touches. So I think he could, like, with Terrence West, like, not healthy, I think, you know, Alex Collins is going to work into some sort of role, especially why Danny Woodhead is still out. So I think Terrence West is kind of going to be the odd man out in this backfield. And then Buck Allinger, passing guy who gets a lot of work. And then Alex Collins is going to put a lot of dents in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. So I think you're right. I think Buck Allen's the guy to start this week. And I think Alex Collins must be owned. And I know in certain leagues he is not. This isn't a matchup to play him, but there are going to be matchups coming up where Alex Collins is going to be a good play most likely. So he's a guy that should be owned in all leagues. Let's talk about the wide receivers here. We've got Macklin. We've got Wallace. I don't know. I guess play Macklin.
I mean,
I have no strong opinions on these.
Yeah. Like you gotta have a better option. I think this is going to be like a very, very low scoring game. It's, you know, just divisional. It's going to be gritty. It's going to be a lot of running for no gains. That's how I'm looking at this right now. So I'm not about playing Macklin. He could get lucky. Like he's gotten lucky on the touchdowns, and that's why I'm saying he's sittable as hell.
Yeah, that's true. Most of his production has kind of been from, you know, fluky touchdowns. In terms of the tight end position as well, we know they've been splitting snaps. Ben Watson was kind of the guy. I believe he's limited in practice right now. I don't want anything to do with the Baltimore tight ends.
See, I'd still be okay with playing Ben Watson. I think
even in limited practice, even not necessarily 100% healthy going into the week.
Yeah, I think he'll get enough targets.
Ben Watson or ASJ?
Fuck you.
Ben Watson or Jesse James?
Jesse James.
Okay.
I think I would play ASJ. You're right. I'm stupid.
Ben Watson or Charles Clay?
Charles Clay, for sure.
Cam Brate. Charles.
Ooh, play. Yeah, Brate. Yeah, you're right, dude. I'm wrong.
See, stop
pounding me, man. Stop pounding me. I get it. I'm wrong. I'm weak, dude. I'm weak right now. I'm an 0-3, dude. I'm a shell of myself.
Sorry, man. I didn't mean to put you in a vulnerable spot. I'm just trying to extract information. That's all.
Jason Witten from 2008 or Ben Watson.
Would you rather play Ben Watson in 2017 or would you rather play fucking ASJ in 2015?
Supreme fantasy.
Yeah, right. All time years.
Playing through timelines. It's like a Rick and Morty version.
That's what I need to do. I'm going to watch the new episode after this. I haven't watched it yet.
It was all right.
All right, cool. Anyway.
Way off the rails.
Yeah, I'm taking Pittsburgh in this game. Who are you taking?
Yeah, I'll take Pittsburgh in like a real close field goal game.
I saw they made a Stone Cold Steve Austin reference in Rick and Morty this week. Is that true?
Oh, it was great. Do you know any context about it?
No, I just saw they made it.
Oh, perfect.
Okay, all right, cool. I'll like that.
You'll love and appreciate it.
All right, perfect. So both of us are taking Pittsburgh. We're moving on to the next game. let's move on to Buffalo at Atlanta. Atlanta is an 8-point favorite, as they probably should be at home. And the over-under here is 48.5 points. On the Buffalo side, dude, Ty God is being Ty God. He's legitimately a fantasy starter at this point, even in this matchup that's not great.
Yeah, if I wasn't such a chicken shit and like listen to myself all offseason, I would just have Tyrod and he would be doing totally fine as my starting quarterback. But I really don't own a lot of Tyrod. So that being said, he's a great play. They're going to be probably down, and Tyrod has been very efficient and he's been stable floor, like the shit we preach.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is still another good matchup for him. And, you know, they're going to be down. Like Atlanta's going to be playing these soft kind of like, you know, prevent big play type defenses. And that's just, it's wonderful for Tyrod and it's wonderful for the next guy that we're going to talk about, which is LeSean McCoy. I think McCoy is the best running back play of the week this week, even though they're an 8-point dog, which normally isn't conducive to running back production, because Atlanta has been beat by the pass catching running back. And it didn't happen this week with Theo Riddick, but Riddick still had 9 targets. I'm willing to bet that McCoy, who currently leads the Bills in receptions, is going to lead them in receptions again this week and really just go off against Atlanta.
Yeah, McCoy is ready for a breakout. And like you said, this is probably a great time to predict it because Atlanta gets beat by them all the time, that being pass-catching backs. So I really like that call, Walsh. And McCoy has been that offense, and it's just anybody that doesn't like him anymore, you can buy – I don't know if you can buy low on McCoy, but I really like McCoy as somebody
– I think he might be able to.
Yeah, because he hasn't really had a blow-up game, and people probably are frustrated. But if you look at the work that he's been given, like especially with the targets, dude, he's like their number one receiver and their starting running back. So the Bills are kind of a weird team because their starting wide receivers for real aren't that great, and they're kind of just, like we alluded to in the offseason, slot guys that they kind of just – brought in from random places, and there's not really a number one there. So McCoy is pretty much the number one in every position for them right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move on to their number two in targets and catches right now. Charles Clay. Where is Clay in your tight end hierarchy this week? Is he a low end starter, a maybe streamer, or is he maybe above or below that?
He is definitely I think he's an every week starter for me because we've seen tight end just be shit. And Clay has been, you know, pretty good, very solid floor. And he's on pace kind of to have that sort of breakout role that he had in with the Dolphins. So I like what they're doing. There aren't like a whole lot of options to pass to. And Tyrod, one of the guys who's the mainstay there, is Charles Clay. So I do like his floor. I don't know about like the matchup too much, but it's just like Charles Clay is definitely one of those guys you can leave in your lineup and expect good production out of him.
I think the matchup is pretty good. Despite the fact that it hasn't come through the past 2 weeks, there's been a lot of targets to tight ends. Martellus Bennett had a ton of targets, and then Ebron had a ton of targets this past week against the Falcons. I like the matchup. I think the Falcons are vulnerable in the middle of the field as opposed to the outside. I think their outside corners are pretty good. Yeah, Charles Clay, I think I'm about it, and I agree with you. I think he's an every week low-end starter at this point because tight end is bullshit, and you're not going to get much better than Charles Clay.
Absolutely.
We talked about the receivers a little bit. You mentioned how they're all kind of slot receivers. Do you want to start any of them?
No, I don't.
Me neither. Let's move on to Atlanta. Is Atlanta becoming similar to the Patriots? A start everyone team for you?
No, because okay, like I didn't mean to be a dick, but
no, that's completely fair.
So they're like, I'd much rather start like Amendola, Chris Hogan over guys like Justin Hardy, Taylor Gabriel, if that makes sense.
Sure, but I think maybe Gabriel's the Amendola equivalent. I think Hogan's the Mosanu equivalent there.
Oh wow, that's. Okay. I mean, it's very fair. Atlanta doesn't, they're not the Patriots. I know the comparison is like, the comparison is spot on, but like they're not. So when you're trying to force them into that, like, okay, this is that, it doesn't really pan out. Like it's taking the square and trying to shove it in the circle. Like you want it to fit so badly, but it will not. But, Was that a good comparison, Walsh, or no?
Yeah, no, I think that works. No, I think that definitely works. Going into more detail here, obviously Matt Ryan's a start. Devontae Freeman has been unbelievable this year. And this past week, there was more of a gap between him and Tevin Coleman in terms of workload. Tell me, as a Tevin Coleman owner and a guy who has to rely on him in a couple of leagues, that everything's going to be okay, please. Or is it not going to be okay?
Oh, it's not, Walsh. I'm sorry.
Fuck! Come on,
you knew it. You knew what you were doing.
Yeah, but this is.
I tried to tell you.
This is my curse. This is my curse. Is perpetually undervaluing Devontae Freeman.
Yeah, I tried to tell you. You yelled at me at every turn. I love Freeman, but you had to know this, man. I mean, only an injury.
I didn't. I'm blind.
Only an injury, man, will save you. Which sucks. Fuck. We don't like that.
All right. Well, fair enough. So going into the wide receivers, Julio, he hasn't broken out, but he's been.
He's also a little dinged up, which is kind of the usual for him lately. So it's not great. Not great. Like he hasn't panned out too much. Like I know a breakout is definitely coming. It's Julio Jones, but it's very tough, especially with Mohamed Sanu being like pretty active, more active than last year.
Shrek and Rogers talked a lot about that on the recap podcast, is the fact that Mohamed Sanu's been like real good so far. Yes. He's a guy that's got to be owned and should probably be started in most leagues. You know, I know Taylor Gabriel got a long touchdown. I don't think you have to worry about that. But Sanu's a great start. And then our boy Austin Hooper, 2 targets per game, every game. I think he's droppable. I think he's the second tight end to start in this game behind Charles Clay.
I agree. I tried to stay true to the course and, you know.
Dude, it made sense. It made sense because he's on the field constantly.
Yeah, he's just so talented. And I thought they would, like, you know, give him more targets. But especially after, the first game, holy shit. Like, you saw what he did with the ball in his hands. Like, why wouldn't you do that? But Atlanta has enough playmakers where they don't have to target Austin Hooper. He's only getting 2. Very droppable now.
It's 2015 and maybe 2017, Travis Kelce syndrome. Yes. Where you see how talented the guy is, still not going to get him that many targets. So,
well, the thing is, there's way more talented guys around him, and that's saying a lot because he's super talented. Like Julio Jones, you know, Mohamed Sanu, you know, even Taylor.
Yeah.
Like all those guys. So he's just stuck in a bad system right now, not targeting him too much. So you cannot play him at tight end right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Do we have anything else on this game?
I do not.
All right, I'm taking the Falcons.
I am. I want to take the upset again, but it's definitely going to be the Falcons. They're at home. They're going to destroy.
That would have been fucking ballsy, dude. Mm-hmm. That would have been hard. Hard vote of confidence in Ty God. And you're right. I do like what the Bills have been doing.
Yeah, dude. The way they took it to the Broncos in a game where I was just like, fuck it, Broncos are going to crush them. And then, you know, they really surprised everybody in the most surprisable week. Last week, which was just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, we'll see what they can do this week. Maybe they can pull something off. Whew. Next game on the list, New York Giants at the Bucks. Bucks are a 3-point favorite here. The over-under is 44. These are two teams that I have not really fucked with much so far this season. Eli, though, did have a very usable fantasy game this past week. Despite the fact that they're on 0-3, you know, Odell looked good. Sterling Shepard has continued to look pretty decent. Brandon Marshall is dead. I'm convinced it's his corpse that's out there running routes for.
He had a great game though. He did. I mean, I'm agreeing that he sucks, but like the way that what I'm saying is last week, the way that shit panned out might not happen again all season. Like Sterling Shepard, Odell Beckham. Fucking Brandon Marshall all getting a huge volume of targets in a game where they were down 14 makes total sense to me the way that panned out. So it just kind of worked out. I would never bank on that ever again. I would sell Brandon Marshall. I would sell Sterling Shepard. I wouldn't sell Odell because he's Odell, but you know what I'm trying to say. That won't happen again. The Giants are bad.
Yeah, they're not a good team. I mean, outside of Odell, I think you can start Sterling Shepard. I don't think I want to start anyone else this week.
Yeah, I mean, Sterling Shepard is great. I just wish he was like a real number two. But yeah, I wouldn't even roll him out there. I'd be very scared.
Yeah, and then, you know, we've talked about tight ends, and we would be remiss to not bring up Evan Engram, just because even though he's a rookie, he has kind of gotten some work. So
the targets are 100% there.
The targets are there. He has 19 targets over 3 games. That's a little bit more than 6 targets a game. And his efficiency isn't too bad either. He got in the end zone the second game. I think he's in that pool of guys who are, you know, usable week to week.
I agree. It's just the matchup against the Bucks isn't great. So if you're picking him up this week, you can definitely roll him out just based on targets, but don't expect a lot of production at least this week. So maybe save him for next week as well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's an interesting little stash and we'll see how it goes from there. We don't need to talk about the Giants backfield, right?
No, no, they hold no value whatsoever.
Zero value of any sort. None of them matter at all. Tampa Bay side of the ball. Jameis has been disappointing. I don't think he's worth a start against the Giants this week. What about the running back situation? So ignorantly put in our outline that it was the return of Doug Martin. It's not. He has a 3-game suspension. They've only played 2. It's week 4. I know that was the mistake I made, but
I know.
Jaquizz and Sims, what do you think?
I wouldn't play either. I mean, I know if you're a guy that took Jaquizz, you might be worked into like a corner where you have to, but it's not. He's not going to have a good game. The Giants have a great defense. It's just for the entire season so far, they've been on the field way too much. They give up, that's why they look so bad, but the front is definitely great, and he's not going to have a good game. So if I have other options outside of Jaquizz or Sims, I'm playing anybody.
Yeah, I'm benching Jaquizz this week for who the fuck was I benching him for?
Somebody good?
No, kind of shitty. I can't even remember. I'm sorry.
Alvin Kamara?
No. I don't remember. I'm sorry. But I remember making this decision in a league that I had to earlier was I'm benching Jaquizz because I don't think it's a good matchup.
He and sucks, I know dude. He's a bad running back.
They're favorites and they're at home, which is nice. But, you know, so it's not the worst play in the world, but you don't need to do it. Wide receiver-wise, Evans and D-Jax have both kind of been pretty good. I know the Giants secondary is pretty good. What do you think about them?
I mean, Evans is a must play, and then Deshaun, whenever you play him, is he going to get behind the defense, which he did against Minnesota. So I would think it's kind of going to be a similar game where Evans is going to get a lot of targets, and you might get lucky on a touchdown, but at least the production will be there and the opportunity. So with Evans, that's fine. With Deshaun, it's tough, man, to roll him out there, but I guess I would. I don't know. It's a little tough.
I mean, so let's think about it.
Janoris Jenkins will definitely be on Evans.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got a better matchup on
Eli Apple.
Yeah.
Dude, he'll cook him.
Yeah, he can get totally burned on that. I think D-Jax is a pretty decent start this week.
He will. That's a good call.
So would you rather start Deshaun Jackson or Rishard Matthews?
Rishard Matthews.
Okay. Would you rather start Deshaun Jackson or Willie Snead?
Willie Snead.
Yeah, I'm not making a good case for myself right now, am I?
I was going to say the Kenny Stills, Ted Ginn question from last podcast would probably make D-Jax a lot more sense.
Mile for me.
That's what I'm saying. That's kind of D-Jax is the upper echelon of guys that will catch long touchdowns, maybe or not.
Right. So okay.
I think he kills those guys by a mile. I agree, but I think that's the question realm that you want to be in.
Okay, that's definitely fair. And then at the tight end position, Cameron Brate's Cameron Brate had a good week this past week. He seems to be the pass catching guy, despite the fact that he's splitting snaps for the most part with OJ Howard. I'm willing to start him this week, and I think it's a pretty decent start because the Giants have been bad against the tight end historically.
Yeah, everything you said is completely true, and he had a great game last week. I thought he got knocked out when he scored that touchdown, but he seems to be okay. He's not on any injury report, but Cameron Brate is one of those guys. I've been an Austin Hooper guy, and I'm looking to pick up a new tight end, and Cameron Brate is getting – enough work where he could possibly catch 4 balls, and that's the stuff that I am after now. So
yeah,
Cameron Brate's looking like a nice even though the matchup is nice, he could be a year-long kind of dude for you because tight end is such shit. It's such shit.
I'd get real horny over a tight end catching 4 passes.
Exactly, dude. Even 4 targets, give me something.
Yeah, just give me something to deal with there, but. Anyway, I think that does it for Tampa Bay. I'm going to take Tampa Bay here.
Yeah, I'm going to also take them.
All right, let's move on to Philly at the Chargers. So another LA game that will not sell out. But this game is a pick'em right now. The over-under is 47. We'll start on the Philly side of the ball. I talked about it a little bit last podcast. I think Carson Wentz is a pretty solid start this week.
Yeah, I agree. And let me try and phrase it. I'll ask you a question, Walsh. Would you stream? Because I know what kind of guys we are, and I want to see what you think with this question, which is an obvious answer for the opposite person. Carson Wentz, Trevor Siemian. Who do you play this week?
Carson Wentz.
Exactly. I picked Trevor Siemian. That was a bad question, I guess. It was better. It was better in my head because I wanted you to say Siemian, but you didn't. But yeah, Carson Wentz is a great play. The point I was trying to get across is like you could play these guys that aren't owned and stop playing guys that you've been playing, like Cam or something like that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think Wentz is, you know, he's part of an offense that's throwing the ball a lot. He's got a lot of really nice targets. I know he lost Sproles, but Carson Wentz is legitimately on the border of being an every week starting quarterback in fantasy right now. And he's not being treated as such. So even though the Chargers do have a very good secondary, I'm very willing to play him. Let's talk about his pass catchers a little bit. So Alshon's had a great past couple of weeks. Zach Ertz has been
great.
The most consistent tight end in the NFL.
He's so good. Like, dude, this was the thing we were worried about, though, because he's always like a back nine kind of player, and he's been crushing the front nine. So he's just on pace to destroy the tight end position as the tight end one.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been unbelievable. And I think those two are obvious starts. Even Alshon doesn't have the best of matchups, but then so we've got Torrey Smith there. We've got Nelson Agholor there. Are you willing to go with either of them?
No, I don't like either of them. I really don't. So Agholor, we've always hated after praising him like before we drafted him. So Aguilar's terrible. Torrey Smith, he just doesn't have the opportunity even like that Ted Ginn and fucking Kenny Stills have. So he's totally out for me too.
And then we need to talk about this backfield. I'm sure it's been a big waiver wire topic the whole week. So, you know, Sproles went down. Blunt got some work. Smallwood got a lot of snaps. Corey Clement got the touchdown. Which of these guys are you going with going forward?
I would love to pick Blunt because this is the ideal situation that I envisioned him for the entire offseason where I was loving him and then the other half where I didn't. Because it wasn't looking too hot with Sproles and stuff. But now that he's gone, you got to hope and wish that they would give him a lot of carries because he looked great against the Giants, man. He looked really good when they gave him – whenever they gave him anything, he looked fantastic. So he got his typical, like, a couple yards and then the touchdown, which was great. So I would like to think that they'd give him 15 carries a game, but I just don't know what they're going to do. So I'm going to sit out this week. I don't think I would play Blunt, Smallwood, or Clement at all. I just kind of want to sit back and see what's going to go down.
That's very fair. I think, waivers have probably gone past if, you know, you're listening to this, but Smallwood's definitely the waiver ad of those. So, you know, keep that in mind. Corey Clement's kind of been, he's there, you know, he's not really doing too much. So keep it in mind, I suppose, but Smallwood's the guy that you want to add. Blunt's probably already there. On the Chargers side, it was an interesting week. Phillips didn't do spectacular against Kansas City.
Putting it very lightly, Walsh. He was just bad.
He was quite bad. Do you think he can bring it back against Philly? Do you have any interest in him as a streamer or anything like that?
Oh yeah. I really like Rivers. Obviously I think the Philly, the way to beat them is through the air. So I think, maybe Travis Benjamin or Keenan Allen has like a fantastic day. I think this is going to be more high scoring than the over and under is entailing. I think they'll go over that by a lot. And yeah, I just really like what Rivers can do. It's one of those things where he has a really shit game and then you don't want to play him and then you're going to miss out on like a good starting opportunity for him. So I would definitely roll out Phillip and expect some good things.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, their cornerbacks are not very good. So let's get into those passing options. We have Keenan Allen. We have Travis Benjamin. We have Tyrell Williams. Keenan, I think, is the week-to-week must start. And then the other two kind of fluctuate week to week. Do you have any insight into which one of those other two that are going to produce week to week, because I have none.
Yeah, I don't have much either, but I was going to ask you, I think Travis Benjamin is kind of working his way into that, like, DeSean Jackson, Kenny Stills, Ted Ginn thing that we've been talking about constantly.
Dude, like, he was second in targets on the team this past week too.
Yeah, and he's getting a lot of targets, which is crazy. And I think that the Tyrell Williams hype that we had all offseason is slowly getting pushed out, because he's not almost, like, he's almost not worthy of a roster spot right now. Which is,
well, so which of those crazy two would you rather have on your roster?
Right now, it's Travis Benjamin, and it's...
I think I agree.
It's crazy, because I love Tyrell Williams. I think he's a great fucking player, but, like, right now, the offense that the Chargers are running is Keenan Allen, Melvin Gordon especially, and then, like, Travis Benjamin gets deep balls, and Tyrell Williams is just absent from the game plan almost.
In fairness, I think he's gotten around 6 to 7 targets per week, so he's not completely absent, but... he's not being featured, and he hasn't broken a big play, which he seemed to break a big play every week last week. So there's a lot that's going on there. I'm not exactly sure how to read all of it. But I think what we can take away is that Travis Benjamin has a much bigger role in this offense than I think any of us expected.
Yeah, I actually think you said that he should be heavily considered as, like, one of those, like, late round flyers even.
Yeah, no, I did say that.
Absolutely. So, yeah, so, like, you were pretty much dead on. It's just so hard to, like, wait out the season and see how it pans out. But I think you were dead on. Like, Tyrell Williams is kind of phased out. I mean, he said he's getting the targets, but, like, dude, not doing anything with them is going to suck. And, you know, an offense that has to move the ball. Like, Phillip is throwing, like, 40 times a game. And if you can't get it done with what you're given, it'll just keep going everywhere else. Like, maybe they'll finally bring out Hunter Henry to catch passes finally.
Dude, but he had no targets this past week.
All he does is block, dude.
He played 60% of the snaps and had no targets. So I guess moving on to tight ends. What the fuck is happening here?
This was the shit I was yelling about all offseason. Like, he did this last year. That's what he did. And then Antonio Gates isn't even going out for a lot of the share of, like, you know, going out for snaps and stuff like that. They're splitting and they're sucking. Like, that's all they're doing. Don't play any of the tight ends for the Chargers right now.
No, I would rather be playing Cam Brait. I would rather be playing Charles Clay. I'd rather be playing ASJ. There's a lot of different things going on there.
Yes.
We need to talk about Melvin Gordon, because there is a little bit of an injury issue. He was limited at Wednesday's practice. He's dealing with minor bone bruises. Should Brandon Oliver be owned?
Yes, but only if you are a Melvin Gordon owner. I think if you pick up Brandon Oliver and you're not a Melvin Gordon owner, you're kind of a piece of shit, because he's really worthless. Like, you, all you're looking to do is trade him to the Melvin Gordon owner. So, like, let me see if I can phrase this right. Walsh, if you were a Melvin Gordon owner, would you, like, you wouldn't trade to get Brandon Oliver, right? You just wouldn't?
No, not at all.
Yeah, exactly.
100% chance.
So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's why I'm saying you're a piece of shit. So I think if this week and you're listening and, like, Brandon Oliver's still on the waivers and you own Melvin Gordon and you're a little panicked, I would pick him up. He's worth a roster spot for you, because Melvin Gordon, slightly injury prone so far throughout his NFL career, and it'd be a nice backup plan if anything were to seriously happen to him.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's pick this one. I'm going to take Philly in the most hilarious way possible, because it's the Chargers and they always lose in the most hilarious way possible.
I'm going to take the Chargers and they're going to win by 10.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's quite the call there. So there you have it. We're going to get a quick word from our friends at Bench Boss, and Vinny and I will be right back with the last four games of the week and some listener questions.
This year, dominate your friends with free play-by-play fantasy football from Bench Boss. Bench Boss is the first play-by-play fantasy football game where you must think like the players and coaches on the field as you predict the outcome of every play. Earn rewards as you compete against friends and fans across the country. Bench Boss is currently recruiting beta testers, and we need you. Visit benchboss.tv to learn more and sign up today.
And we're back, guys. Again, that was Bench Boss. Make sure you check them out. Vinny, we have four more games to get through. We're going to get through some questions. Let's start off with the San Francisco 49ers at the Arizona Cardinals. This line is insane, because Arizona, who, And like, at first I was like, this line is insane. And like, I immediately went to go bet on San Francisco because I thought this line was completely ludicrous. But then I thought about it more and I was like, no, I think it kind of actually makes sense. So Arizona, who has been one of the worst teams in the NFL this year, is a 7-point favorite. The over under here is 44.5. I thought about it more and more and more, though, and I think it makes sense. I think it makes sense that that's the case, because if we look at San Francisco, Pierre Garçon is going to get shut down by Patrick Peterson. What other offense do they have besides Carlos Hyde?
That's it, man. That was going to be like my point, but I guess
is there anyone on this? And I mean, you're going to play Carlos Hyde even though they're a 7-point dog because they're willing to feed him, it seems like, this year. But outside of Carlos Hyde, is there any single person on San Francisco you want to play this week?
No, like not at all. And if you do get cornered into playing Pierre Garçon, which I kind of might in our matchup actually this week, we should have probably mentioned we're playing each other this week.
You're right. Yeah.
But yeah, so I might get cornered into that. And like all you can bank on is the targets. And that's not great because Patrick Peterson is definitely going to shut him down.
Yeah, and for those of you, you know, maybe thinking, oh, what if the Cardinals don't shadow? The Cardinals have been one of the very few teams to shadow every single week so far this year. So the Cardinals do put Patrick Peterson on the number one wide receiver. They move him all around the field. They don't care, basically. they're willing to do that because they know he's good enough. And Pierre Garçon is a bad play this week.
Yes. Also, if you're a mega asshole and saying that Dez had a good game against Arizona last week, one, no, he didn't. He just scored a touchdown. And two, that was not against Patrick Peterson. That was a broken coverage, and he was in the middle of the field and then fucking bullied four dudes into the end zone.
Yeah, Dez got two targets, yeah, which is like enough to make you think that, oh, maybe they don't just throw at Patrick Peterson that much. Yeah. So he got that touchdown. That was it. Be glad if you started Dez that you got that touchdown. Arizona side of the ball. Is Carson Palmer attempting streamer again? Because I don't want him to be, but I think he is.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Like, I don't want to say yeah, but he is. Because I was kind of, like, very off on him for the Cowboys game because of, like, what I thought he was going to get terrorized, like, getting sacked. And he did. But then he wound up, like, ripping him up, like, in the first couple quarters. So he could probably do that to the San Francisco 49ers. Like, I think that's totally doable. The only thing is when you're rolling out Palmer, like, you're holding your breath until that game is over. And then you'll be dead.
Very fair. what I will say about this is the reason I think Palmer is a streamer is because when a team is a 7-point favorite, and that normally means there's going to be a running back to start on that team, you still shouldn't start any Arizona running backs, which means the offense has to come from somewhere. So it's going to have to come from Palmer. So I think Palmer, I think Fitzgerald, I think even if you're desperate, Jerron Brown and J.J. Nelson are maybe starts this week. Because you're not starting Chris Johnson. You're not starting Kerwin Williams. You're not starting Andre Ellington. Or am I wrong on those?
Yeah, I've thought about it for a while.
And don't tell me you're gonna say you want to start Chris Johnson. Don't fucking
no, see. No, not him, not him, not him. It okay. was – If it was anybody, it's Andre Ellington, which I hate myself. Agree with that. Yeah, I hate myself. But dude, watching him during the Cowboys game, like, he's the best running back out there. Chris Johnson, not as good as last year. Just he's so old, dude. He's just so old. He's out. Kerwin Williams is terrible. Andre Ellington is involved in the passing game. He'll see enough snaps, I guess. I don't know. But I wouldn't want to throw him out there. If you're so desperate at flex, Andre Ellington is an interesting play.
Okay, I think that's fair, and I think that Ellington should be owned.
He should be owned as much as the other two, which I think are probably more owned than him.
Right, and he should be owned, like, he's the only one who should be owned.
Yeah. Out of those. Yes, if you own the other two, drop him for Andre Ellington.
Yeah, so I guess the moral of this game is don't start anyone but Carlos Hyde and kind of start Carson Palmer again, but I don't know.
Oh, yeah, and Fitz.
Like, yeah, and Fitz. Dude, Fitz was whatever. I'm not going to get into that.
You were mad about – how could you be mad about that?
I was mad about the fact that I played him in daily all over the place.
The Cowboys are terrible.
In the fucking nut matchup, in the best matchup, against the Colts and he did shit, but you know what? It's, I shouldn't get mad at that. It's nice to see Fitz do well. I do like Fitz a lot.
That was also a home game, which this is also a home game where Palmer and Fitz play much better.
Okay. Fair enough.
So there, yeah, that's all I got.
Who are you taking here?
I am going, you know what? Fuck it. I've been bailing on upsets the entire two podcasts we've done. I'm going 49ers here.
I'm going Cardinals. I don't get why that's your upset, but whatever.
I like Pierre Garçon. I like Brian Hoyer. I like Carlos Hyde. I'm a piece of shit.
Okay, fine. Oakland at Denver. Denver is a 2.5-point favorite. The over-under is 46.5. Oakland came out this year looking like dominant in the first two games and came out on Sunday night and just shit the bed. Like, they were terrible. Carr was sailing every throw. They couldn't get anything going. With Oakland in Denver, with those cornerback matchups, with whatever else, with the way that their running back snaps vary, I don't know if I'm comfortable starting a single Raider this week.
I'm not, but I'll tell you the guys that I am going to play. I'm going to play Amari Cooper. I'm going to play Michael Crabtree. I don't care.
Okay.
They got shut down.
Those matchups are terrible.
Yeah, well, you know what? They, as in the Broncos, have been getting pretty beat as of late. So I'm not saying that's like guaranteed or anything, but dude, you don't want to lose your fucking matchup sitting Michael Crabtree or Amari Cooper just because you're sour about last Sunday night. Trust me, you do not want to do that.
Maybe I do want to do that.
Maybe you're a piece of shit.
I don't want to do that.
You're right. No, yeah, exactly. You don't want to do that. You don't have better options. Like, don't even kid yourself. Like, you don't. So you're playing Michael Crabtree, you're playing Amari Cooper. Shut the fuck up. They're fine. They're good. So are the Raiders. The Raiders are still good. They got shut down. This is Andy Dalton syndrome. They just showed up on front. They didn't show up. They didn't. Walsh, I've been dealing with this, man.
I know. You know what? I'm preaching to the goddamn choir here. What I'm doing.
Exactly, dude. The Bengals are so good, and then they show up on primetime. I'm like, sweet. Everyone's going to think the Bengals are good, and then they just get rocked on Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night. Doesn't matter. Any kind of night, they'll get destroyed. So Derek Carr just totally shit the bed. It's okay. It's okay. He doesn't have the greatest schedule. I wouldn't play Derek Carr. I'll throw that out.
No, certainly not.
But Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper, you bet your ass I'm playing those guys. You have to.
And then, so a couple more questions here. Does the fact that Jalen Richard is most likely not going to play make you like any of the running backs more? For me, it doesn't.
No, I wish that made me like Lynch more, but it just makes me hate him more because I feel like they'll lean on like DeAndre Washington or something.
Right. Or Cordarrelle Patterson out of the backfield, yeah, which has been a thing the past 2 weeks.
I mean, that was funny against the Jets. I don't know if that'll work against the Broncos. They'll probably kill him.
He's actually looked pretty good just taking handoffs out of the backfield. But
yeah, no, he really has been looking pretty good. But which is funny because if you go back to our other podcast, we're like, Cordarrelle Patterson, maybe? I'm like, nah. no sir, but yeah, he has looked very decent. It's just kind of like a Jack Del Rio thing, like his big balls are just like, yo, Cordarrelle Patterson, run a draw and see what happens. Touchdown, yeah. 60 yards.
The other guy we need to mention is I think Jared Cook isn't the worst play in the world. Jared Cook did pretty well this past week despite the bad game that the Raiders had. Denver hasn't been great against the tight end this year. The Raiders are still going to throw it. I kind of like Jared Cook.
Yeah, I like Jared Cook a lot. It's a good play. You saw him break loose during last week's game, and Denver let up a play to Jared Cook as well. So very susceptible to the tight end, as you said. So I do like Jared Cook as a good play.
Fair enough. I'm going to take Oakland.
I'm sorry, Walsh. Broncos are home. They play.
Wait, we didn't talk about Denver, did we?
Oh yeah, we didn't at all, dude.
God, I'm a fucking idiot.
I was gonna say they play lights out at home. I'll take this one, Walsh. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go for it. Just get me out of my misery.
Yeah. So a guy we've been talking about over the course of these two podcasts have been, well, I guess me, Trevor Siemian. I think he's probably the best stream of the week. And Walsh, can you argue that?
I mean, I can. I won't be right, but I can.
Can you name other guys that you would start him over?
Carson Wentz, Tyrod Taylor.
Are those spite moves or?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, okay. 100%. I don't know why I was looking for
non-spite. Trevor Siemian's a great streamer this week. Shut up, dude.
I agree. Yeah. Well, you pounded me before with Ben Watson, so I'm just getting you back.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
Would you play Andy Dalton? Yeah, I like a lot of the Broncos here, specifically Siemian, especially after falling off against the Bills, which was just weird. But CJ Anderson and Jamaal Charles Walsh, what are you making of this situation? I thought last week was an anomaly because, one, I'm a CJ Anderson owner, and I have to believe the opposite of the truth, which is that the Jamaal Charles looks great and they're splitting snaps, and that, like, last week was just crazy and they needed a spark. So they threw Charles in, even though he does look awesome.
So the wrench in this too is that Devontae Booker is likely going to be back this week. And who knows if that actually makes a difference. It probably shouldn't, because CJ and Jamaal Charles have been good so far. I like CJ Anderson going forward. I think he'll be fine in this game. I think Jamaal Charles is a desperation flex at most. Like, last week was kind of the best that you're going to get from him, where he gets those 10 touches, he gets in the end zone. I think Denver knows what they have in CJ Anderson, and it's a legitimate running back. So
yeah,
I'm aboard the CJ Anderson train.
Yeah. I don't think you could have said that better. CJ Anderson is definitely the lead back. When they throw in Charles, he looks fantastic, and they're limiting his snaps because guess what? Like, Charles is kind of on the back end of his career. And unlike Adrian Peterson, he seems to understand that and is doing the most with what he can do and provide for the team. And it's looked great. So if you are throwing him out there, you're going to have to bank on like a lucky touchdown like last week, which was pretty sweet, but probably not going to happen week to week. And if you do own Jamaal Charles, you don't own CJ Anderson, trade him to that guy who owns CJ Anderson. And if you have CJ Anderson, maybe go out and trade for Jamaal Charles. I don't know. How do you feel about the
handcuff there, Walsh? I don't know if I bother handcuffing it. I think you'll be okay, because I don't know if Jamaal Charles is a straight-up handcuff. I don't think the Broncos really want to give him more than his current workload. So I think if Jamaal Charles gets hurt – or I'm sorry, if CJ Anderson were to get hurt, I think Devontae Booker would take a much bigger workload than what he's currently getting. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see there. In terms of the wide receivers on Denver, Sanders and Thomas are both must starts every week. Am I wrong there?
They're so fucking good. Specifically Sanders right now.
Sanders is like murdering shit right now.
See, the thing I was going to bring up is I think Sanders is going to burn out. Not like in a dud kind of way, but I think that Demaryius Thomas will eventually just be the more productive wide receiver like season long. So I don't want to say sell high on Sanders at all. I think you keep him 100%, but I'm thinking a huge buy low on DT.
I think that's fair. Yeah. Because what Sanders has, what, like four touchdowns and DT has one, maybe?
I don't even know if he has any. But yeah, Sanders has been getting the touchdowns, way more targets, and it's just, it seems just unsustainable for their ages and the way that they should be distributing the targets, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. It definitely does. I think though, even if we get regression from one or the other and whatever the case may be, I think both of them are starters no matter what the rest of the year.
Oh yeah. Every single week.
All right. Is there anyone else we need to talk about in terms of these two teams or?
Oh, AJ Derby for sure.
Fuck off.
Fuck no. I'm taking Denver. I know you're taking Oakland.
I'm taking Oakland.
I feel bad.
But nah, it's dude, it is what it is. It's a tough one. But let's move on to the next matchup. We have Indianapolis at Seattle. And so Seattle in this matchup is a 13-point favorite. The over-under is 41.5. Seattle's a huge favorite. Luck is already ruled out. Is there anyone on Indy that you're willing to play?
No. Hilton? No, I was going to say, I know Hilton had that big game, but dude, against the Browns, that's it. Like, that's all you need to say. Like, They're going into Seattle. That's not good for anybody. I know they just got beat up by the Titans, but that was not at home. That was away. So I think this is totally different. Jacoby Brissett's going to have a real tough time. I think T.Y. Hilton's going to have a really tough time. So I would not play any of these guys. Like maybe Frank Gore, if you're like really hurting at running back, but even then, that's just a terrible play.
Yeah, no, I don't think Frank Gore is a good play, though I do think the one of the secrets of this year is that the Seattle run defense is not that good. This is not the week to take advantage of that, though. So I'm, you know, maybe playing Hilton if I need to. On the Seattle side of the ball, the big news is that Procise is out, which makes Chris Carson like the, you know,
the dude.
Basically, you know, one of the top three running back plays of the week, I think. Chris Carson is basically going to get all the work. We know that Rawls and Lacy, you know, can't really work in the passing game as much. So he's their guy. Outside of him, do you think Russell Wilson is worth a start? And then we also need to mention Doug Baldwin. I mean, Doug Baldwin is questionable to go. They think he will. So then if Baldwin does go, what do you think about him and the other wide receivers? If not, are there other guys you want to play?
So, well, sorry to totally backtrack this, but Pete Carroll came out after saying CJ Anderson was done for the week that
– Procise.
Who did I say?
Anderson.
Oh, God, no. Yeah, sorry. Shit. Very good call. Yeah, CJ Procise out for the week. And then Carroll, who I know you love, Pete Carroll, dude, comes out and says J.D. McKissick.
God, I'm going to kill him, dude.
Will have an opportunity to take his role.
I'm going to murder him.
That sentence means dick, but it means everything as well. Because if he's going to ruin a nice backfield share that Chris Carson has, are you comfortable starting him no matter what? I think I still am, but
yeah,
there's always that Pete Carroll shit.
I am. Like, Chris Carson was like my particularly DFS play of the week.
That like, worked the hell out.
No matter what.
That worked.
You know, but like, we'll see what happens. It's a... Huh, that sucks. That sucks a lot.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you know, Pete Carroll says some shit. I love Pete Carroll. He says some awful stuff. It doesn't really make a lot of sense.
I hate him so much.
It's just funny that he just plucked this guy out of like obscurity.
J.D. McKissick, is that the guy's name?
Yes. I don't know anything about him. I didn't bother looking him up. I just wanted to tell you about him.
Oh, that's terrible. either way, though, I'm not going to let that deter me. I still think Chris Carson's a great play.
Yeah, I completely agree with you.
So I think the thing is Doug Baldwin's going to go. Is that correct?
So this sucks. I'm a big Doug Baldwin owner after not owning him a lot. And then the groin injury happens after like his best game of the season, huge breakout. And then the news of the groin injury. So he has not practiced yet. It's going to be a shitty situation up until Sunday night. You need to go out there and get Paul Richardson for sure. I think Tyler Lockett's the most owned of the other guys there.
Yeah.
So pick up Paul Richardson. And if Doug Baldwin goes, I'm playing Doug Baldwin. If he doesn't, obviously Paul Richardson is a great play against an awful, awful Colts team.
Yeah, I think both Richardson and Lockett are great plays if he doesn't go.
Yes, that is a great way to put that. But yeah, keep an eye on Doug Baldwin. I'd almost prefer if he didn't play because a groin injury, like, it sounds not serious, but right, again, it's always Pete Carroll talking to you too. So you want to take the worst out of that because you're definitely not sure. And then as far as the other pass catchers, Jimmy Graham. He's been okay after the injury. I think he sat out practice today actually, but probably on pace to play. So Jimmy Graham is one of the better options. And I think if Jimmy Graham is a scratch, you can panic pick up Luke Wilson, who had a great game last week. It's kind of like
double L Wilson.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Jordan Reed, Vernon Davis thing to a lesser extent. It's definitely a panic move, but if you have to do it, do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you said a lot of very good things there. Can I assume we're both taking the Seahawks?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, cool. Let's move on to the Monday night game. We have Washington at Kansas City. Kansas City's a 7-point favorite. The over-under is 49.5. I don't know if this is a hot take or not, but if Jordan Reed sits, well, you know what? You can play either tight end. So outside of tight end, I think the only player that you're playing on Washington is Chris Thompson.
I think you expected that to be hotter than you thought, Walsh. I completely agree with you because I think...
Okay, well, never mind. Yeah,
I hate to be a dick, man, but like, dude, this is an obvious trap game to me. Like, they shut Oakland the fuck down at home and then walk into Kansas City and expect it to be the same right now. I just think, like, to everybody on the outside, like, this is, like, going to be a shootout or some kind of good game. I think Kansas City is going to wreck.
Yeah, no, I'm right there. I think Kansas City's going to fuck them up.
Yeah.
Particularly, you know, Kansas City being at home in Arrowhead. Chris Thompson hasn't gotten the most touches, but, you know, they're a 7-point dog. They're likely going to be playing from behind. Kansas City's secondary is good. And I know Kansas City has done pretty well against pass-catching running backs, but I just, you know, it seems to make sense that Thompson would be the only guy there, and then whatever tight end actually starts would be the other start for Washington.
Absolutely. The other weird thing I was going to what the fuck was I going to say? Oh, my God. We just have to talk about Terrell Pryor. I mean, he's not
– Oh,
he's not a great play, but, dude, what the hell happened? He looks terrible.
So he's Terrell Pryor is the guy that if I own him in season long, I'm sitting him every week until he actually does something. And in DFS tournaments, I'm playing him every week on the off chance that he's going to go off.
That's a great strategy.
Because I'm sure that he's going to break out at some point this year. I don't know when it's going to be, so I can't in good conscience recommend playing him in season long. But I know his price is going to decrease and he's going to be low owned in daily tournaments. So that's kind of the rationale behind that. I mean, Pryor, if you own him, if you drafted him, I'm sorry. I did in certain leagues, and he's got to be on the bench at this point.
Yeah. This is definitely not the matchup to like lay your balls out on the table. Like,
no. I mean, against Marcus Peters,
this is an easy sit, which is probably a hard pill to swallow for me. Like, I don't even own a lot of Pryor, and that is a hard pill for me to swallow. It sucks because
he's just so cool.
He's so good. He's so cool. He's a converted, like, he was like, I'm not good at this position, so I'll be like the best at this one. And then it's a cool story, and it just hasn't worked out yet. Like, and I thought Washington was stupid just signing him to a 1-year deal, but they're looking like the smart ones right now, which is why I do not coach a professional team and I just talk to you guys.
Yeah. I mean, I still think they're stupid for that. I think if they're wrong on it, someone else will get it right on it, but we'll figure it out. On the KC side of the ball, I think it's the normal suspects. You know, Alex Smith, like, I think at this point is like an okay guy you can start week to week. I'm not looking to start him, but
he's the guy that we thought he was, to quote,
Dennis Green.
Yeah.
He's no, I'm sorry.
No, you're right. The Cardinals guy. It's Green.
You're right. They are who we thought they were. You're right. It's in the screen.
Yeah, Alex Smith is who we thought he was. He was a 15-point, 16-point motherfucker, and he's not the 30-point motherfucker that he was week one. So he won't blow it out for you, or he will sometimes, but don't bank on it, and he'll get you the bare minimum standard for QB. You don't want to be getting shitty points, so if you want to just bank on that, Alex Smith is your dude.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, we have Kareem Hunt. Obviously, he's been incredible so far this year. I don't think he's I don't think he's going to break a 50-yard run every single week. So that'll don't expect the same production you've gotten, but he'll still be great.
So I thought that was the best thing for fantasy in a long time, where you thought, like, I was even looking, like, I was watching Red Zone and I saw that the Chargers were done pretty much. And it was like past the 2 minute warning and the Chiefs had the ball. And I was like, oh, sweet, they're going to need out. Nope. Kareem Hunt brings a huge run,
which more than doubled his points for that week.
Exactly. Just like, that's the best fantasy thing you could ever want if you're the owner. Just crushes it when you don't expect him to. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah. And what I'm saying is, don't expect that every single week.
Oh, no, you're dead on. Actually, if I want to be like a stickler about Kareem Hunt, he doesn't get like the snaps that you want him to, but he gets the usage that you want him to.
Is Kareem Hunt a sell high?
No. Fuck no, please.
I kind of think he is.
Do you really think that?
Yeah, would you, dude, what, I all do. Right,
all right. It's easy to think that, Walsh. You probably don't you don't own a lot of them, do you?
Kareem Hunt for AJ Green. I'm taking AJ Green.
Wow. I love that, but dude.
And I think people would do that. I think there's
no, they would absolutely
that would
do
totally
that.
Do that.
They totally would.
And I
but
think
like,
you're fleecing him if you're getting AJ Green.
I don't know about fleecing, but fuck. Like I understand what we're like, we were joking at first, but like it's totally real. Like it's the ultimate sell high. It has to be. We talk about it all the time.
There's no chance he can do this for the, like, he's going to be great for the rest of the year, and he's going to be a starting running back for the rest of the year. Yeah. There's no chance.
Come by.
There's no chance he can repeat his first 3 weeks production for the rest of the year. So,
like, there is, though. Like, he's.
No, there's not. There's no chance. No.
Dude, he's laying up nice games.
Yeah, but he's gotten a 50-plus yard touchdown on the ground in every single game so far.
So what? Maybe he gets 50 yards and like a goal line touchdown next time. It's the same shit.
That's delusional.
You're delusional. I don't even own Kareem Hunt. I'm sticking up for him.
All right, whatever. Let's we can save that for a later time.
I'm taking the fucking Chiefs.
Well, no, we still need to talk about Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce.
No, we don't. They're both good and play them both.
Yeah, I mean, well, I feel like we need to reassure Travis Kelce owners because he had a bad week this past week.
That's a good point. I mean, he had one target, one catch. We've seen he's already on the every other week kind of play me kind of deal.
He's a little more high ceiling. And then also against the Redskins, like Jared Cook just had a great game against him. So like Kelsey's going to go the fuck off.
Yeah, he's going to fucking eat.
And then in terms of Tyreek Hill, I just want to say the Redskins don't shadow. The Chiefs will be willing to scheme him into good matchups. Tyreek Hill will be fine this week.
Yeah, he's always, I think, did you tweet that he was like running around the backfield or something like that?
Oh, I said there's at least one play per game where he's just behind the secondary.
Oh, it's ridiculous. He's wide the fuck open.
It's just a matter of if Alex Smith hits him or not, you know? At least one play per game, like he has everyone on the defense beat. And week two, Alex Smith didn't hit him. Weeks one and three, he did. So we'll see what happens.
That's one of the best tweets I think I've ever, like, I don't really use Twitter, but like when I went on, I was like, that's the best point ever, because you can't say that for a lot of guys that do that. Like Brandon Cooks, like he was covered as shit last week, but he's made plays. Tyreek Hill is free as hell. So, So when they scheme him, like, dude, they're going to scheme him. It's Andy Reid. They'll figure it out. I thought that was a great point.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm going to take KC in this game.
Yes, me too.
All right, let's get into the questions. We've got a couple of them here. I realized how Shrek broke it down was questions from email and then Instagram. These are the Instagram questions. So the first question from Manny. Who would you roll with? Cam, Dak, Eli, Alex Smith, or Palmer? Vinny, who are you going with?
I'm going to go with Palmer.
I am too, and that's wildly uncomfortable.
Yeah, but it's, I think, easy compared to the rest of the options.
I think the only one who makes it even semi-hard is Alex Smith.
Agreed.
And I still think Palmer's the better matchup.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Elijah says, would you give up Buck Allen, Cooper Kupp, and Jordan Matthews for Jarvis Landry. No.
I'm not even going to read the rest. No. What are you doing? Three people for one person?
Well, hold on. The rest of it is he still has Bell and
Hunt. Who gives a shit? Don't even. Back.
Cares. So what he's saying is he has a lot of depth and he doesn't think he needs the depth.
Calm down. Dude, you can make better trades than that. Like, don't ever sell three people for one person.
Particularly, and again, we love Jay Cutler, particularly the guy who's dependent on double-digit targets from Jay Cutler every week.
Walsh, that is blasphemy. Of course he's going to get double-digit targets.
Well, I'm just saying, Jarvis Landry is dependent. Like, Jarvis Landry sucks if he's not getting 11 targets a week. So,
totally joking. Yes. It's a simple rule. Don't overpay for anybody. Like, it's...
Yeah.
You want to make it a fair thing. Someone is trying to canoodle you. You don't want to do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that either. Next question from Joey Harasimo. I don't know if that's the correct pronunciation. Start Adams or Thielen. Also Ravens, Broncos, or Bengals defense this week. So the Adams Thielen question I think is interesting. Vinny, where are you going there?
This is tough, man. I would say Adams.
I would as well. I think he's the better start with, you know, Thielen going against.
Yeah.
What has been a good Lions pass defense so far this year. So we'll see if that holds up. And then I think the defense question is easy, and I think it's the Bengals.
Yeah, you just got to go with the best stream there. I mean, it's hard to see if you own any of these. So if you own the Broncos, just roll with them. If you're streaming, go with the Bengals. Or like, do you pick up the Broncos? Like, I don't think the Broncos are on the wire. If you own three defenses, no. Holy shit, dude, like, do something else.
Yeah. I mean, if just pick up the Bengals and start them. They're the best start this week.
Yeah.
And then the last question from OG Smitty, great name. Fournette or Snead in the flex this week? I am going Fournette.
Yeah, it's got to be Fournette. I love Snead, as we alluded to in the last podcast, but dude, Fournette is going to get fed against the Jets. You can bank on that more so than a Snead coming back from suspension.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's going to do it for me and Vinny. Vinny, you got anything else to say to the listeners?
No, that's it. I hope you guys liked our podcast, and Godspeed this week, guys. Godspeed.
Yep. Please do better than I did this past week.
I did so. I'm not good. I'm not good this year. I'm not good at all.
I just don't get football anymore, honestly. Yeah. Like I said, like there's so much just like so good and then so bad. Like
there's been a lot of shit where I'm like, you should have streamed this guy instead of sticking with your gut, stupid. And then I'm just like, yeah, but this was good. It's just
right.
It's off.
I felt like I've made a lot of good decisions and had them not work out, which I know is like a fucking cop out, like bullshit, whatever. But like, I really do feel like that, you know. It's but what can you do?
Yeah.
So for complaining, Vinny, I am complaining, Walsh. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Take a look out for the recap podcast. It'll be out on Wednesday of next week. Best of luck in week four. We hope all you guys win this week. And later podcast.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.